Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh dear. Happy Monday, everybody. Have no fear. It's a new week, but same games in the NFL because guess what? They're everywhere. Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, we've got it's funny. I was just thinking about the big picture in the NFL, you know, and the song came in my head because clearly this is Glee ESPN here, Jhené and Golic Jr. I was like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
Saturday.
Except Saturday, but really though, like NFL games are everywhere. And speaking of it, right now we've got the Washington football team and the Steelers going at it. And then later on, we've got the Bills and the 49ers in Arizona later. And now in about 10 minutes, we will tell you though, because we've been talking about it all day after they fired the defensive coordinator, we will tell you where to start the rebuild with the Jets. But, you know, speaking of the now and the present, you know, it's funny. We talk about the Jets and then we switch over because then we switch over to the Eagles and it's like all green, go green here today on Jhené and Golic Jr. But I just have to address this. Like, I really want to put an apology out to our show crew because they were a little salty in the break because I mentioned height. And anytime I bring up height, people get a little, like, you know what I mean?
Well, Jhené, I was even a little surprised the way you brought it up. Like, we're talking about Baker Mayfield and, you know, part of the reason why he's so scrutinized, being a top overall pick. We know what happens with quarterbacks who fall outside of that height paradigm, those things that come with it. And you mentioned that just because you and I are respectively 6'3 and 6'4, 6'4 does not mean that we are making this a height problem for Baker Mayfield, but then our very 5'10 staff got out here and tried to remind us that we were fitting uncomfortably into airplanes and all these other things that we can't do being tall. So are we good now, guys? Because there feels like some tension in the studio. Devin, Cliff?
It ain't about the size of the dog in the fight, but the fight in the dog.
Says people that, okay, never mind.
Listen, I'm forever beefing with y'all, so whatever it is, I'm just going
to
beef with
y'all. No, Cliff, we don't need you beefing because we need you unbiased, because we have a situation with the Philadelphia Eagles where I feel like we've reached, and I'm going to say, the end of the road. I don't think I nailed it the first time, but like when it comes to this team, you have a starter that was benched, and now you have someone that you brought in from the second round pick, which a lot of, you know, expectations in Philly. Now you have a situation where it's like, have we reached the end of the road? Do we need to be decisive and naming a starter? And I feel like we should have this big Philadelphia Eagles in honor of Cliff, hopefully you still love me, ELE, in a big conversation through One and Done.
Oh no.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
They did it on purpose. They want to leave me hanging.
No.
They want to leave me out here because of the shade. Jhené, that's how it is.
Jhené, I'll tell you what this is. You ever do that thing where if you see lightning and then you're supposed to count until you hear the thunder to know how far away that lightning strike was supposed to be? You usually do it by miles for that. When we call for a sounder and you count in between, that was 1, 2, 3, 4. You can tell how interested Cliff is in what we're saying at that point in the day.
He should be very interested though, right, with the Eagles?
Listen, that's not fair. Hold up. The mouse was, like, jammed in a weird place, and I couldn't put it over the correct sounder. And then I had, like, all these sounders looked the same on my board. I wanted to make sure it was right, and I didn't hit the wrong one. So
sounds like excuses.
No, wow. It's not an excuse. It's an actual fact. This is what happens.
Well, you should be used to excuses from where you at. You know, your people in Philly.
Oh my God.
We've had every
This is why I'm forever beefing with y'all. Y'all show me no love, yet you say you guys love me.
Well,
that makes
Cliff,
no sense.
Cliff, I'm going to give you an opportunity to retract that statement based on what happened last week.
Well, listen, we do love you. Jhené has showered you with gifts so much so to show you that she loves you. But we do care about you, and like we care about you in this way. Like, we talked to Mina Kimes before about the Seattle Seahawks offense. And so now we want to have a very frank conversation about what the Eagles are going through right now. The Eagles offensively could do nothing in front of Green Bay this past week. And so they made the switch, and they decided to go with Jalen Hurts in the back latter portion of that game. And we saw something from that offense. And so, Cliff, you are the resident Philadelphia Eagles fan on this show. You are a diehard. You are from there. Jhené and I have both looked at this situation and said, Jalen Hurts needs to be your guy going forward, at least into this next week. Let him start this game. Start to see what you've got in that situation. What's the temperature in Philadelphia around this entire situation?
It is hot.
The
heat is on the stove.
It's mid-December in Philly, but it could be 1,000 degrees out there right now. Listen, this is what's going to happen. Out of one of three things. Jalen Hurts is either going to ball out and then become the quarterback of the Eagles. he has to start for the remainder of the season. He's either going to become a new trade chip, some type of value to bring back, or he's just going to be a decent backup quarterback with experience. That's it. It has to happen. He has to remain the starter for the rest of the season.
But right now he's Schrodinger's quarterback, meaning you don't know any of those things. We've seen it in small sample sizes, and thankfully in this last game, Chiné, it wasn't just the Eagles bringing him in for one play and then taking him out to troll us. It was an extended look. We got to see some nice throws. And I think now you've got to build on that to a certain extent because, like Cliff said, backup quarterback is something that matters a lot in this league, and this shouldn't be a situation where they feel like they can't bring Carson Wentz and put him back in the lineup if Jalen really struggles, if it warrants it, because they are still trying to win games down the stretch of the season for the rest of this team, and Carson Wentz can't be prideful in this situation or spiteful and not prepared because he hasn't put himself in a spot to where that's possible or that should be a reality for him.
And while I say this, can we look for that Carson Wentz sound? Because when I was hearing his reaction to being benched, and we played this earlier in the show, Chiné and Golic Jr., he sort of was like, well, I don't know what was going on there. Like, I wasn't really made, you know, I just had to do it. And you made fun of how, like, he was clapping at least when Jalen was out there. So you're trying to at least show the optics the good message. But when I heard that sound, it's sort of like you had to know that this was happening because stagnating from an offensive perspective over the course of an entire season is not good enough. Especially for Philly and that fan base that cares, even if you're out there. Like, we'd rather see you lose in a struggle or in, like, at least fighting than to just go out there and get much more of the same. So when I heard him say, well, I don't know, I'm like, no, but you really do know. And I'm rooting for Carson. I want him to find his game back. I understand 2020 is a unique year and people respond to it different ways. And I know that they're tied to him. I think, was it a 4-year, 128 or so, or $48 million contract? There is some security and safety net around you, but not necessarily there for Jalen, who has an opportunity, and you understand that your play has sort of forced the hand here. And so when I heard that sound, I kind of was like, ugh. Like, after you just went in the locker room and just said, hey, guys, I have to play better. And then after it's like, well, I don't know what we're doing here. I just wasn't made, you know, I just had to go with the flow. Yeah. That's not necessarily what I like to hear.
Here was the sound from Carson Wentz, the Eagles quarterback, after the game, talking about getting benched.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what the plan was fully. I was just told he was going in for the next play and next series, so I didn't really know what was going on there, but obviously that's frustrating as a competitor, and just the personality that I have, you know, I want to be the guy out there, but you know, it is what it is, and you know, they made the call today, and at the end of the day, we lost as a team. We lost, and that's what I think, for me, I'm most frustrated about. You know, I don't like where we're at this season, record wise, and I know I can play better and we can all be better going forward, but yeah, I mean, we got to clean some things up.
Chiné, you know what this actually reminded me of a little bit was Cam Newton. Because remember, Cam Newton got benched earlier this season. And while it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, Cam Newton's NFL career is on much greater life support at this point in time. And yet when Cam Newton was benched, he said, yeah, I didn't play up to the standard here. I understood completely when they brought that to my attention, and I've got to be better going forward. There's accountability that we hear behind the scenes. There's accountability in front of the microphone. And how that sounds is going to be in the eye of the beholder in this situation. But for Carson Wentz going forward, whatever happens now, he is still going to get the benefit of every opportunity that comes up between now and the start of next season, because he was a top overall pick, because he's a guy that got to a big second contract who's owed a lot of money. And so this isn't some time to consider his feelings and all this, how Jalen Hurts being there affected him or some old wounds there. This is a reminder that at every step along the way, you have received the ultimate vote of confidence from this organization when it matters most. And so now it's on you to go and deliver, you and no one else.
And I'll give this final nod to Cliff because he sort of brought this idea to us right now. It's the idea that, okay, there's no problem. You have that contract. You have that security net. Jalen Hurts going out there and doing well and providing a spark consistently for the course of the season at least brings some kind of happiness to your base. And guess what? That ups his trade value eventually in a situation where if you don't choose to keep him, you can get, you know, you can lose him and get something that will actually help your team in the long run where you will be.
It seems like there's a fair amount of upside in proceeding with Jalen Hurts going forward. We'll see if the Eagles take that. Doug Peterson was noncommittal in talking about who the quarterback will be, and so we'll wait and see on that front. But coming up next, and sticking with Green right here, the New York Jets made a very clear decision. There was no hemming and hawing about the future of their defensive coordinator after what happened at the end of the Las Vegas Raiders game. But what does that mean for the long-term future of this franchise, and just how good of a job is New York in spite of everything we've seen this year? We'll get to that next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got two games tonight on a Monday, and we will be heading live to the Washington football team Steelers game with our ESPN reporter in a few minutes, Shanae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus right now. Shanae Ogumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down for you. Now, it's funny. This break, actually, we came up with a little bit of genius. I think we're going to workshop it here. But the big picture here is that, okay, teams win, teams lose. And I feel like we should workshop this segment called, and it's really been inspired by the Jets because, like, in a season, in a game, shoot, even in a play, the block is hot. The block is hot. You have teams, you have coaches, as we've just, you know, stated, and that was the news of the day, the Jets firing their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. They find themselves in hot water. So the block is hot, and I think it calls for a greater – you can even say that maybe for James Harden right now. Like, all the stuff that's coming out of Houston, has he reported yet? Yeah, we've been seeing him on Instagram and social media in different places. You know, he's a little hot water. We're trying to figure out why the heat is up there in Houston and seeing if he delivered. But, like, I guess the big idea here is just that the Jets, like, they're in a situation where they're trying to build a culture while also understanding that there's writing on the wall. The block is hot for a number of them inside of there. And it's funny, the Jets are now 0-12, Junior, on the season, tying the longest losing streak in franchise history. But the silver lining here is that through that one play that everything went wrong for a certain coach and also for the players that worked for a win, but it still maintained their 72% chance with the overall pick. So it's like the block may be hot, but also at the same time, it's not, because guess what? You're getting what you want in the long term if you just keep doing what you're doing.
It's such a fascinating place that we find ourselves in, and it's unique to this point in the season, because down the stretch of that Jets game, we had a situation where the Jets team and all those players are playing so eagerly to win that game and to not have an 0-4 record, 0-16 potentially. Walk with them for the rest of their lives. Like, that's something that you never get over, being associated with those kind of low moments, playing for their NFL futures. The Jacksonville Jaguars doing the same thing, taking the Minnesota Vikings to overtime, trying to go out there and win games this season. Losing stinks. Being inside a team that loses consistently and often is hell. Going into work, even for a job like this, stinks on ice. And so you've got those teams trying very much in earnest to try and win, Shanae, and have their entire fan bases root against them. Like, it was fascinating to watch, right? This weekend, we're watching these games, and Jaguars fans and Jets fans are all openly cheering for their team to be the one to lose.
Yeah, and Jaguars fans are probably like, go Jets! Like, come on, Jets! Oh, yeah. You got it! And it's funny because, like, being the athlete in that scenario, I was drafted number one, which meant my team lost a lot the year before, which means, you know, that's why you get the number one pick. And that's exactly what you want if you're trying to be the Jets. And we didn't, I'm telling you, I don't think we won our first game until, like, 15 or 16 games in. And again, this is a WNBA where we have, like, 30-something game seasons. And, like, when we won that first game, it was huge. A lot of people were just sort of like, oh, what's going on here? Like, are you guys ever going to win this season? And we did. And we started racking up our wins towards the end of the season just because people started resting and all that type of stuff. And I say all of that to just say, as athletes, we don't go in there thinking that we want to lose. And I think that's why a lot of the heat came on the coach, just because he put them in a scheme that really hurt their intentions. And even if he didn't even know it.
Well, I think he knew what he was doing in Greg Williams, because he did. He took a lot of heat. Shanae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Shanae Ogumike. Took a lot of heat at the end of that game for making the call that he did, choosing to blitz that many people on a play where if you just sat back and played prevent defense, you were probably going to be in a good situation. And it was so obvious, Janae, that immediately after the game, Marcus May, Jet safety, was asked about the defensive call coming from Greg Williams. And this is what he had to say. This is how honest he was in the immediacy after the game.
Just felt like he could have been in a better call in that situation.
Marcus, it looked like you guys had a zero blitz there. Did you have kind of been playing more coverage in that situation?
Yeah, I just felt like we could have been in a better call at that time, in that point of the game.
And Shanae, so many people say, you know, the player's job is to go out there and execute what's called. And to a certain extent, it's true. But at some point, these are pros. You know this. When you get to that level, everyone knows a lot about what they're doing. Everyone is paid a lot to be out there, including the coordinators. And so when they mess up, they need to be held accountable. Marcus May had no problem in that situation bringing up Greg Williams' portion of that accountability. And for anyone who thought, man, this is a conspiracy theory, Greg Williams wants to stick it to Adam Gase, who he doesn't like, or Greg Williams got the note from the front office and they want to preserve their number one overall pick. Greg Williams is an incredibly ambitious coach in this league. We have seen that on a number of occasions. So for him to actively show himself the door in this situation where who knows how many other chances you get, probably isn't a reason to buy into a conspiracy theory.
That's exactly what I was saying. Now, I can get why people would reach for this or even think that this is by design, hoping that your team is putting you in a better position to actually be better in the long term. I can get why it'd be inclined to have this happen. But like overall, like, you know, like I said earlier, this is more coincidental. Eighth in choosing to blitz out of anyone in the NFL, and then first in missed tackles. Like when you combine those with an eagerness to win and to really shut things down and think that, oh, I could just risk it all this play and maybe, you know, we could actually make a bigger play out of this. Like that just all was a convergence of wrong things happening at the wrong time that cost him his job, and I don't think he'd ever walk into a situation putting himself in that position.
Well, no, Janae, I think he would absolutely put himself in that position just because that's who Greg Williams is. Like, his entire ethos is, I'm going to throw the house at you on every play. This is
but
how
not so I- much that he'd want to lose his job.
Oh, though. No, not to, well, yeah. You know what? So much that he is going to, no matter the situation, Janae, be the most himself. There's a lot of ego associated with a lot of coaches and players. Like, that's universal to high-level competitors, is there's a certain amount of ego. But I think that tends to always kind of go to a different level when it comes to especially defensive coordinators in the NFL and on this level, a dedication to their style, the way they believe in doing things, especially we know the dynamic on this team. And so Greg Williams is going to be Greg Williams in every situation possible, even one where the rest of us say, you know what, the last thing on earth you should be right now is probably Greg Williams. And what he lost, Janae, is just his job right now on a team and a group and an organization that we think is going to experience a lot of change. But it has, like, a bright future. Like, that's the weird dichotomy in all of this is we all look at the Jets and a ton of cap space and, hey, Mekhi Becton's playing really well. And, Williams on the other side, their defensive tackle pick from a few years ago, is starting to play good ball. Maybe you've got some pieces to build around. You're going to get Trevor Lawrence. And it all starts to look pretty attractive despite what an utter tire fire it's been lately and despite the difficulty for this team as it's currently constructed.
And even think about what we've actually just witnessed over the course of the last few weeks when it comes to their internal machinations of their front office or their coaches. Like, you have situations where a lot of them are like, I'm doing this and I'm not doing that. Like, I'm calling the plays and not, like, you're so close. You're literally on the finish line of finally getting a win, something that you can feel good about. And I just wonder if people were just clearly, I mean, I don't even wonder, you know, they're not on the same page. And maybe in that moment, that extra bravado, that extra arrogance that you want to have as saying, like, I am the reason we've won, or at least let's be aggressive here. And sort of you lose sight when you have those type of things where not everyone is in sync from top to bottom, whether it's his coaches, and then translating that message to the players.
The difficulty in messaging and the difficulty in coordinating as coaches is something that's hard for everyone. And so bad teams do it exceptionally poorly. And we've seen that from the Jets time and time again. But coming up next, let's switch gears because the Jets have recently been linked to a name that would be a blast from the past. And what we're seeing in the future of the Bill Belichick coaching tree could be brighter than ever. Why this latest round of Belichick disciples better equipped than any that came before them to have success? We'll do that next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In a few minutes, we will check in on my hometown of Houston, Texas, which, in the words of Cliff, is probably hot, just like Philly. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. here with you. WNBA player myself, offensive lineman extraordinaire out of Notre Dame. I feel like this is the first time we said Notre Dame Jr. on a show where you guys are still, you know, riding high. Like, this is really interesting.
It feels really good, Chinay, to be a part of and a fan of and a former player of and alumnus of a university in a place like Notre Dame that now has secured 10 wins in 4 consecutive seasons for the first time in school history and still looks like they have a very, very real chance of being involved in the college football playoff, second-ranked team in the country. So, yeah, no, it is a good time. I'm glad you brought that up. I was worried people had forgotten, so we wanted to remind them.
And congratulations. I mean, Ian Book, man, out here booking it, looking crazy. But it's been fun because, you know, Coach Kelly, friend of the show, has really been doing his thing. There we go. That part has really been doing his thing, and I want to stay on coaches here, but in the professional ranks. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, you know, speaking of coaching, if you're going to point to one salient example of great coaching in the NFL, it's going to be easy. We're going to point to Coach Bill Belichick. Even though this season has been different, it's been a transitional year. And, you know, speaking of, like, our experiences, you know, family matters to us. We come from big, loud, boisterous, athletic family, and it really just rubs off on everyone that you're involved with. And that's exactly what we've seen over the course of his career and tenure with the Patriots. He has this beautiful coaching tree that we start. And I think you said it was Damian Woody that put it on Twitter, if I'm correct, right?
Damian,
on Twitter. Like,
yeah, Damian,
yeah, go ahead. Read the tweet.
Well, I can say Damian Woody put it on Twitter that this Bill Belichick coaching tree, the latest group, meaning Mike Vrabel, Brian Flores, and Joe Judge, is starting to blossom. Because as you mentioned, Chiney, there is a Bill Belichick coaching tree, but the names that have come off of it in the past have not been able to really replicate anything close to that success. I mean, Bill O'Brien, who was just shown the door in Houston, may be the most successful by wins, losses, playoff appearances, and records. The most successful Bill Belichick coach, and I think most of us look at that situation and say a lot more of that was Deshaun Watson than anything else.
And, well, yeah, 100%. And also how difficult it is to wear two hats, being both the GM and also working, you know, as coach. But, you know, I guess what I see here is in 2020, I think a lot of times we think that imitation is the greatest version of flattery, right? But now I think we're moving into an era where, especially where we've been talking about the Jets this whole time, and I love this theory, and I don't know why it's like, it's not like a major theory, but this idea you put forth, like, look at the Arizona situation with Cliff Kingsbury and then also Kyler Murray. Having a tag team duo, whether it's quarterback and head coach, that you can come together, marry together, and move forward together is important, and that's why we always talk about the Jets and the coaching vacancy as something that might be attractive, especially if you're going to, you know, depart ways potentially with Adam Gase and then get the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's a huge opportunity there. And now we're seeing a lot of coaches sort of impart their own ways based on what Coach Belichick has sort of established with the culture and the way that, you know, you honor working hard and doing things like nitty and gritty. And I feel like amongst this tree between Brian Flores and Mike Vrabel and now Joe Judge, you see all of those cultural things happening, but also these guys putting their own flares on it.
Yeah, Chiney, it's really interesting. Like, the word culture gets brought up a lot, and I feel like by and large, a lot of people will use that as a crutch, but the way you talk about it here and the way that we tend to mean it comes from, like, earning the trust of the people around you is probably the most simple way I can phrase this down. I always looked at culture as, do the players believe enough in what the coach is telling them to spread that around the locker room? Like, right? Like, there has to be that buy-in, and that's what we haven't seen in a lot of other instances, whether it was Bill O'Brien with the Texans, whether it was what we just finished up with Matt Patricia in the Detroit Lions, the former Patriots defensive coordinator, in situations where you come in and automatically expect to be respected in the way that Bill Belichick was, because you were around there for some of those big accomplishments, you were a part of that team, that tends to go sideways, because you know this, that's not the love language that athletes speak. It's, what have you done for me here in this building? Because we got vets too, we got people that have played a lot of football and done a lot of stuff around this league.
And it's also been, what have you done for me lately? And if anyone out of the coaching tree that has really blossomed, in the words of Damian Woody, it's got to be Joe Judge, because what have they done lately? They've literally just won, and they have to feel really excited if you're in the Giants. If you're a Giants fan, especially given how much we've talked about the Jets today, let's talk about the Giants a little bit, because I was looking at the Nuggets and New York, the New York football Giants had a 13.7% chance to win entering their matchup, and they ended up walking out with a win, and that was the largest FPI upset so far this season. So if we're going to talk about quality wins, it's literally, I mean, we, in the same day that we celebrate the Browns, this right here statistically was a huge quality win for Judge and company.
It was crazy. I mean, no one expected this. The Seattle Seahawks are a team that's widely respected in this league, an offense led by Russell Wilson that I think is the best scoring offense in the NFL, or was coming into this game, and they got dominated. Mina Kimes, who was on with us before, our ESPN NFL analyst, part of NFL Live here every day, and also known Seahawks fan, pointed out, like, the Seahawks got punched in the mouth on both sides and both fronts of the football. Some of that is injury, and some of that is just the Giants starting to come together in those certain areas. And all of that with Joe Judge that you mentioned actually led Ryan Clark to say this, our ESPN NFL analyst, that what we're seeing in New York right now, a little bit of what the Lions thought they were getting.
Ain't Joe Judge everything the Detroit Lions thought Matt Patricia was going to be? The thing that the Detroit Lions were waiting and allowing Matt Patricia time to become? Joe Judge has become that in the first season for the New York Giants.
And Chiney, I think you brought this up before, though, kind of what we talked about with the Cardinals. What has the potential in New York? Joe Judge has come into this situation where, yeah, Dave Gettleman had already picked the quarterback that was going to be them with there for the future, but you've got a young quarterback. You've got someone to build around. You know what the circumstance is going to be at that spot. Brian Flores is coming into a situation right now where, all right, they drafted Tua Tagovailoa. They added a year to Brian Flores' contract because they knew we wanted you to be through the development here. Even Mike Vrabel was in a situation where they brought Ryan Tannehill over from Miami. They had that competition, ended up being going into that season with the quarterback they had at the time. And so now you got this spot where all of these coaches got to align with the quarterback. They got to come in and build this thing around that position until that position was ready to go. And now Mike Vrabel and company succeeded last year because they were able to take that step with Ryan Tannehill. And I think that's the one thing before we say these guys have blossomed fully, it's, can Brian Flores stick the dismount with Tua Tagovailoa after this quarterback transition? And when we get a healthy quarterback in New York with the Giants and Daniel Jones, can he be more than the average quarterback with turnover problems that we've seen at times?
Yeah, and that's why I think he really – I know a lot of people have thoughts. You know, I lived in New England for 5 years. You've been in New England forever. A lot of our family, our show was based out there. We get that. But that's one thing. No matter who you are, you got to hat tip Bill Belichick because he's been able to do these type of things consistently. We're starting to see his, you know, family tree start to turn the corner themselves by themselves.
It's so interesting, Chinee, too, the way that we judge these jobs because you brought up the Jets, and it's impossible to really talk about the Giants without talking about the Jets in a lot of instances right now. And these were all coaches that – came to these spots here ready to prove something. Joe Judge was a special teams coordinator. Brian Flores came to this from New England but was looking for his first opportunity as a head coach. Mike Vrabel, the same thing, had been a player in New England for those years before being a coordinator in Houston. How you go about filling these jobs also becomes interesting because the other thing that we've seen is what's going on in Vegas right now with the Raiders. John Gruden came back after a long stint here as a part of the Monday Night Football booth and is having a lot of success with that Raiders team. And we have heard all of these things, according to Boomer Esiason, when he was on his morning show with WFAN, talking about Bill Cowher, who he works with every Sunday. Like, Bill Cowher's showing me film of him on the sideline. Bill Cowher's talking about what a great job he thinks the Jets are right now, has that relationship with Joe Douglas, and has all these people thinking. And you wonder, Chinee, Bill Cowher hadn't been a coach in the NFL since 2006, but we talk about all the characteristics that tend to make great coaches. We talked about all these things that had nothing to do with X's and O's with those Belichick guys right now. Is this something that necessarily is out of the realm of possibility now that we've seen John Gruden show us proof of concept? That's the crazy part to start to consider.
Look, if you're trying to sign up for that Jets job, you better have a little bit of irrational confidence right there. Because to step in there and to make lemonade out of lemons, like, that's going to be a tall task.
It would be interesting, but you talk about a coach in Bill Cowher who would have a defensive prowess on that side. It would be who you bring in on offense. He mentioned having a relationship with Joe Douglas, who's the GM there. Like, the Patriot formula succeeded because you had an understanding of who is our quarterback, who is making the football decisions in our head coach, and how does that gel with the way that we acquire personnel and talent. And I think these other organizations we have seen from the Titans, we have seen from the Giants in a more limited sample size in Miami in the last couple years, a commitment to building that all around. Can you do that with a coach that's been out of the game for a while? Vegas says yes. We will see what happens with that Jets situation going forward. But coming up next, we are a very ELE show around here. Everybody love everybody. Coming up next, we'll tell you why Love Each Other is starting to sweep the nation. We'll do that next. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Keeping that same energy, everyone on Walmart is saying, I want a PS5. So I wonder, like, did any of y'all get a PS5? Because that seems like the holiday's biggest gift.
Hell no. Oh,
do you
my
want
God,
one?
No. You know what? Like, not overly. And, like, again, seeing the lengths that people have had to go to try and get a PS5, they did an outstanding Saturday Night Live skit about that, knocking off that old Eminem video, that Stan video. Yeah, Pete Davidson and them crushed it just talking about what people have to do to try and get a PS5. It's outrageous. I want no part of that war.
One of the best videos that we saw of the weekend, and we got another one. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogbomike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's home insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Now, today we've had some big ELE energy. Everyone loves everyone. Everybody loves everybody. And we have to show some love to Lisa Salters, ESPN reporter, who joined us right before her game tonight where she is on the call. She told us how unusual it is for her to be working a 49ers home game in Arizona, and how funny it was for her to walk and be like, I haven't interviewed these players. It's like, hold up, this is 2020, and these are the challenges that it presents. And then, of course, Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the hosts of NFL Live, she explained the Seahawks loss, which you really were mean to her by rubbing it in, but it's okay, y'all friends.
Listen, so like, I just had questions about why they looked so inept in a loss to the Giants, who are now, I think, leading the NFC East, which is a wild and terrifying thing to say in 2020.
Comfortably, I think 5-7, right? right, Shannon? He can nod if he agrees. Yes. But, you know, you can catch all those conversations. Also, she answered what to do with Carson Wentz for the foreseeable future this season. Does that mean starting Jalen Hurts? Why not? If you want to hear those conversations between Lisa Salters and Mina Kimes, ladies, ladies only here today on Shanae and Golic Jr., you can check it out on our podcast. Make sure you do the thing, you know, that thing where you subscribe, rate, review, comment, tweet, whatever you want to do.
All that. And by the way, if anyone was listening before when I said I don't want a PS5, what I meant was I don't want to have to go out there and do all this. But if somebody was thinking about sending one my way, anyone who was listening, maybe like three of them, perhaps, like if anyone thought about doing all of that, I would certainly never turn that down, because we are not a show at Shanae and Golic Jr. that blocks blessings. We want to accept blessings when they come through on this one. And so if anyone out there was thinking about doing that, I don't want to stop them. It's the holidays. If you're giving, I can't control that.
You know when they try to block our blessings? When? You say, and one on them, and one. We got to keep that same energy, right, Cliff?
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Shanae and Golic Jr.
Snaps for Cliff. You were ready, fam. He was ready probably from when we came from break.
Locked in, activated, self-snaps for Cliff being ready to go as we keep that same energy. And Shanae, why don't we start in Houston, your very own. The Houston Rockets coach Stephen Silas referred to superstar James Harden's absence from training camp as a holdout on Monday and said there is, quote, no timetable. James Harden missed the first practice because of, and I put this in heavy air quotes, COVID protocols, as we get another video of him out late night somewhere he ain't supposed to be.
Imagine how talented, how good of a player, where you can play with people like this, like literally, period. This man is a walking bucket, and I want him to stay in Houston. And so if this means go through, do your thing before you stay in Houston, like, cool. But what I've seen from my hometown is a lot of hot mess. We're hot and bothered, and hopefully we can get it together before the season starts. But right now, it's like, can we, like, can he show up? Like, can we? But he's the one who has all the chips, so.
He does. And so, you know what? We'll try and get the energy in a better place right now, because we don't want to stay with all that negativity that's in Houston. So how about we head to Indiana? The Hoosiers get a big-time win in the college football this weekend over Wisconsin. Their starting quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., out for the rest of the season, but they still proceeded. And their head coach, Tom Allen, did an interview with our very own Holly Rowe after the game. And just listen to the outpouring of love from his team for their head coach and Tom Allen.
Jack Tuttle, he stepped up, played really, really well. But this football team responded.
Recruits, come play for this man. Best coach in America.
Yeah, I just love this football team. Yeah, baby.
Right here. Best coach in the nation right here, man. Let's go.
Coach right here. Go, go, Dallas.
Love you, coach.
The team.
Man, it's a special group. It's a special group. Doing special things together. Yeah.
This team is based on LEO. Love each other. This is love like I haven't seen, coach. What does it feel like?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, you just build it every day. You believe in something, and you don't stop believing.
Shanae, it was so awesome to see. Tom Allen has been such a spark for that program, what they've been able to do in the last couple of years, and this year we've seen it on display time and time again.
Let me tell you. Coaches are going to be out there sending, like, to their players, hey, big head, like, hey, you know, I love you, right? Like, we need these. That is recruiting on a loop right there. So he's going to be like, oh, you guys, like, walk into meetings. I love you, you know, and people can be like, we know what you're doing. We know what you're doing. But that was a timeline cleanser when I saw that.
We know exactly what you are doing right now. And Shanae, we will get to Floyd Mayweather set an exhibition fight against Logan Paul that we want to get to, but I have to read this headline that our producer Shannon put in front of us right before this last one. This is courtesy of Yahoo Sports. UNLV starting quarterback Max Gilliam issued an apology Monday for eating sushi off a nude model while appearing on the reality television show Below Deck. Huh? What?
Like, okay, I get it. I get in your personal time doing what you want to do, but you're going to do this televised?
He said, quote, I would like to apologize for my poor judgment while on the TV show Below Deck and acknowledge that I have made a mistake I will learn from. While it was not my idea nor any of my friend's idea to eat sushi off of a model, I should have exercised better judgment and declined the idea immediately when it was brought up by the producers. I don't have a lot of
he
words for this.
He's been doing it on TV, though. Like on TV.
I don't know how you can apologize for it after. Clearly, you lived in that moment and you lived that reality.
In that moment, just own it.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.